You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
First Nations listeners are advised that the following program may contain the names and voices of our mob who have passed on to the dreaming. You're listening to Yilliman on 3CR, 855am on your dial, 3cr.org.au, streamed online and via the playback service. So today I'm joined by a very special guest, Aunty Sue Hasseldine from out of Goolgoolfa country over in what's now known as South Australia. Just to start off with, Aunt, do you want to talk a bit about where your country actually is over there, just for the listeners?
Yeah, our country's on the far west coast of South Australia. Ceduna's the main town around there, but our Goolgoolfa lands extend out north from the beach to the desert, and we're trying our best to keep it pristine. It's probably the last stunted mallee wilderness in the world, and that would be good if we can keep it that way instead of letting the government and all their cronies destroy everything. And they will, because that if a bushfire goes on out there, there's no stopping it. It'll burn itself out. Nobody can go fight that fire. And these people, if they send their rockets off and they start bushfires, they're not going to take any responsibility for the murder of all those animals.
Yeah, and it's a pretty special like environment out there too. A lot of endangered and vulnerable animals and plants out there as well. And
There is, you know, there's such little people out there, even the ants, you know, they got, that's their country too. It's not meant for warfare and, you know, somebody's playground to test weapons. It's meant for them and us.
Yeah. And it's a place as well, like, I'm not the best with geography and stuff, but it's pretty close to the old nuclear testing site, isn't it?
It's very close to Maralinga Test Range.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the winds brought all that stuff over all of Australia, actually. Tasmania didn't escape either.
Yeah.
So this is like Maralinga 2 happening. They knew people were out on country with Maralinga 1 and they didn't care. And they also know people go on country in Maralinga 2 and they still don't care. So, you know, where's the duty of care for the government or anybody, not just us, but those animals that depend on that country for their survival?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't you know, consider that and they don't really think about that. The fact that, you know, it's not just our land, it's the land of all these animals and plants and stuff as well, and you know they've all got their own right to be here and their own right to be healthy and to survive and not be impacted by these weapons.
And yeah, and the desert in bloom, the flowers and that come out there are just absolutely amazing. So they're all, the whole system is under threat, and by threatening the land, they threaten us, because if they take the land away from us, they destroy us.
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering if you wanted to talk a bit about your most recent trip out there and what happened with all that. We done a bit of a report back last week on it. I'm joining the studio as well with my friend Manju. She flicked through some audio from your aunt, a bit of a recording that we played last week. But yeah, I wonder if you wanted to talk a bit more about it, exactly, you know, what's going on out there with the latest rocket tests and stuff.
Well, yeah, Manju was out there with me too. I'm really grateful for that. We were already out on country, like I said, when we got the word that launches were going to happen and the VADA returns. The VADA returns, they send them off from California, send the rockets off there, and then they land them back on our country because it's too dangerous to land back in America. So our stupid government puts their hands up for that. Manju, you want to say something?
Yeah. I guess, yeah, we had gone out there to do... Aunty Sue does trips out on country multiple times a year and, yeah, to look after the sites out there. So that's what we were out there doing. And we've done a lot of trips recently, actually. I think we've done, like, 3 trips out there in 2 months or something.
Yeah.
Hectic.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's what we were doing. And then, yeah, went into the park. So it's Yumbra and Yellowbinna. Are the 2 parks out the back of Ceduna. And, yeah, we got word after we were in there for a couple of days that there was a launch potentially happening.
Yeah.
And then, so, yeah, Aunty Sue sent off an email to Southern Launch, which is, that's the company that's runs the test range there, kind of asking, like, hey, I've heard this. Is it true that there's a launch happening? I've got word of mouth. You know, people in town are talking. And they just, yeah, they responded, but they didn't actually say anything in their response, really. No. They said that the park sent a link to the park closure, which had closed, like, the day the closure started. They announced it, and so we were already in there, so locked in.
And that's not following the proper even, like, legislation and stuff either, hey?
Well, yeah, that's the Department of Environment and Water in South Australia. So, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of kind of dodgy stuff, it seems like. Like, they were so secretive about this launch. Like, there was a launch last year where we were out there again, and that time they actually launched the rocket while Aunty Sue.
While we were on country, we watched that rocket go over the top of us. This time, I don't know what they've done, but after the helicopter was circling our camp a couple of times, 2.5 times actually, I got a bit scared for my crew out there, you know, my family and my young friends. I call them all my kids. I got a bit scared for them, you know, not knowing what would happen next, whether that helicopter could come back and really, you know, bring some radical idiots with them and try and destroy family. So we decided to pack up and come out of the park for safety's sake, only to find the roads closed. So we were actually effectively locked into the park, but we did get out because I had to get my family and all my family out of the park for their own safety as well. But the fight will go on. It won't stop just because they shut down a road.
Yeah.
And think that they've got all the rights in the world. Now, this is a prime example of using Aboriginal against Aboriginal, because they've got the Kuniba community and the Far West Coast Aboriginal Corporation, that's Native Title Mob. They've got them on side, or so they keep bragging. Far West Coast hasn't had anything to say to us, but the Kuniba community, or one person anyway, has had a lot to say. Get off this country, it's not yours, and Southern Launch isn't doing anything wrong. They're the best thing that ever happened to them. But these same people that are saying this don't go on country. They have no idea what's out there.
Yeah.
They have no idea about... They'd never clean a dirty camel out of a rock hole.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've really got no rights to be telling us to get off of country after all the years, all my life, being on that land. And there was no trouble until the rocket mob wanted to use it for their playground.
Yeah.
And then they're really splitting Aboriginal people left, right and centre in Ceduna, because there's a lot of Aboriginal people don't agree with it, don't like what's going on, don't like me being backstabbed all the time. And then we found out that I was deliberately left out of the last lot of launch details. Deliberately. So they was like, almost feels like they were setting me up to be fired over.
Hit
whatever, because they didn't let us know anything. They still haven't. So everything is so secretive, and there's only them and the Kuniba Council that knows anything that's going on. Oh, Space Agency too, but they're useless.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be the regulator as well, and it just seems like... I mean, there's so much defence and government funding that's going to Southern Launch because they want to build up Australia's space industry and all of that.
A lot of money involved. And when we get this sort of money involved, it always the turns out to be a bit dodgy and shady. And
the government's giving them big grants to carry on. The South Australian government is absolutely useless. You know, they've got AUKUS there and people don't want that. Don't they realise that they're going to lose their jobs? They keep going the way they are.
No, that, you know, we're going to lose everything if we keep hurling towards war and climate catastrophe. And
and it's like they're turning South Australia into the major war state.
Yeah.
In war and radiation and...
Yeah, so much so many nuclear projects happening there.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of work around anti-nuclear stuff, like on the whole global stage. Didn't you win a Nobel Peace Prize a couple of years back?
Well, I was part of the crew that won that Nobel Peace Prize. So I did go to Oslo for the presentation and all that, but like, I didn't get any money or anything out of it. That went back into the fighting fund.
Yeah.
But I got bed and breakfast and plane fares. Nice. and that was all right too. And the recognition that came with that for the group, ICANN.
Yeah. Because you were only a kid when they done those Maralinga tests, weren't you?
Yeah. I was about 2 years old, so I would have been eating all that.
Yeah.
Geez. All that dirt, you know. But the old people used to talk about it and about the Nullarbor dust storm. And that was actually the fallout rolling in. It wasn't a dust storm at all. And they used to try and get the kids inside. They knew it was poison. They didn't know much more than that.
Yeah.
And we never knew anything for years and years until I started going to a group called the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance, started by Brother Kevin Buzzacott and Sister Eileen Wingfield and crew. And it was after that that I really started finding out from a doctor called Bill Williams about what the heck was happening to our bodies. And, oh, it was devastating to think I was feeding my kids contaminated bush tucker. But we had the right person there to talk me through all of that. And after I found out what was happening to us, I started fighting anything nuclear ever since.
It's a very like worthy fight to fight. Has there been much like ongoing health stuff out there because of all the nuclear tests?
Oh, St June is known as the cancer capital of Australia.
Yeah.
When somebody dies, you say, what happened? Cancer. You know, just, and different types of cancers.
Yeah.
One of my old ladies said to me that Minga, that sickness, was never there before the bombs. So cancer was like a new illness that was pushed on to everybody. And I keep telling everybody, and it's not an Aboriginal fight only, radiation poisoning doesn't care whether you're black, white or brindle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'll get you.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's such a, you know, just a typical colonial story, like bringing in these new diseases and new illnesses for our mob. And, you know, that's, we had smallpox at the start, and now we've got cancer and stuff because of all the ongoing acts of colonisation and all the stuff that they've been doing. Yeah, it's disgusting. Really?
It is, and nobody takes responsibility for any of it. I'd like to know if there's going to be some kind of an investigation as to how many people around the Ceduna and surrounds have actually got cancer, died from cancer, had defects, had miscarriages, and, you know, the government's staying clear of that because I think that the numbers are going to be too big, and they're not just responsible to the people at Maralinga Jarraja. They're responsible to the whole of Australia.
Yeah.
Like I said, black, white or brindle. Because that's everybody that got. And still is, you know, because the contamination is coming down through the genes of, started off with us mob that was under the bomb and still coming down to the great-grandchildren.
Yeah. So yeah, it's ongoing, yeah.
Yeah.
In that regard, you know, what does justice around this actually like look like? Like, you know, obviously there's no amount of sorries, no amount of compensation that can make things better. You know, what would actual true justice around this look like, in your opinion?
True justice, well, it certainly isn't money. That's just the band-aid, shut people up. The true justice would be to make sure that it doesn't happen again and the future generations can have a lot better future and the animals can survive and, the bushlands. Just make sure it never happens again and stop what they're doing now.
Yeah.
That would be true justice.
Yeah. So you mentioned before as well about the rock holes and, you know, going out there doing that cultural sort of business. I've touched a little bit on this on the show before with Manju, but I was wondering if you could tell me a bit more about it, just, you know, like what that actually entails and, you know, how long that tradition's been going on. And
well, the tradition's been going on forever, I guess, because our people, when they were living out there, they would always make sure someone would keep the water holes clean for when the tribes returned from their walk. And if an animal fell in, they'd pull it out immediately, so they'd get, if it was kangaroo or whatever, they'd get their food as well. And I've been doing it now for all my life that I can remember, going out on country with my oldies, my uncles, and just looking after country so that it can be healthy If country's healthy, we're healthy. It's simple. Mm. And it's the same with the city people. If your country's healthy, you're healthy. And we go out all the time to make sure that the animals have got clean water, because that is desert country. And they're just so dependent on rain and the cleanliness of the water holes.
Mm. Is it the sort of country that has like a big rain season throughout the year, or is just little bits of rain here and there?
No, it doesn't have a lot of rain, but by heck, we can get some thunderstorms. But no, it just seems to be enough to keep country alive and the animals alive. You know, not overly done, but enough.
Yeah. You mentioned something before as well that I've noticed in my own experience, like with Mob Up in my country and stuff, but the ones that actually go out and do the culture work, they're the ones that are opposed to all this stuff. And the ones that you never see out on country doing any of that culture stuff, they're the ones that, you know, tick a box and get in bed with all the corporations. And
they're the ones ticking the government's black boxes.
Yeah.
And they have no idea, and they don't care. It's just like, take the money and run. But the real people, the real owners are the ones, like you said, that go out on country, look after country, and are fighting this destruction.
Yeah.
They're the real people.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I just want to take this opportunity to plug that there's a fundraiser this Friday night. Maybe you can give a couple more details, Manju.
So let me get this poster off so I don't miss anything. It's on this Friday, the 28th of November, at the Grace Darling Hotel. I think it's 114 Smith Street. And it's raising money for Aunty Sue's West Mallee Protection. That's the the group. Yeah, so there's always ongoing costs kind of thing, like going out. Yeah, the cars. There's always something happening.
You'd need four-wheel drives and stuff to get out there too, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is it like proper like off-roading out there to get out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like four-wheel driving on the beach. It's totally different.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, come along to that this Friday and, you know, help put some money towards an amazing cause, something that's much needed.
When we go out, you know, we've got to take spare fuel and everything. By the time we get home, there is no fuel left, but the damages that happen to the vehicles.
It's always something.
Always.
Yeah, I can imagine. Is it real, like, fine sand out there as well, or is it more gravelly?
No, fine sand and razorbacks. If you know what a razorback is, they're scary. But we always manage to do and get to where we're going and do what we've got to do. But, yeah, the cost does add up in the finish. It does.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, if you're listening, and there's also a Chuffed online if you can't make it this Friday night. Mm. If you just Google Chuffed West Mallee Protection Fund, it should pop straight up as one of the top results on Google. I'm looking to raise $50,000 at the moment, so yeah, donate whatever you can. If it's $2, if it's $200,
we don't have $50,000.
Not yet, but not yet. Hopefully, some people out there are listening. They've got deep pockets.
That look of surprise. I was like, no, we don't have it.
Yeah. Last I checked, I think it was sitting around 9 or something, maybe.
Yeah, and that's from like it's been up for a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, you know, let's try and hit this target in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's also, we'll be doing an info session on the Sunday at the Grace Darling as well. I think we'll put the poster out for that today, but if you can't make it on the Friday, or come to both, Anissa's going to be there and kind of, have a chat about the campaign and get people more across it. I guess, like, the history. I mean, yeah, meeting Anissa and then the history of the work that she's been doing, and then I guess the story so far with this sudden launch campaign.
The ongoing threats.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. And there's a documentary as well. Has that come out yet, the Native Title Rockets documentary?
No, not yet. But there was another one we did over 15 years ago called Keeper.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll like show people just how long this fight has been going on. Keeper was against miners. And now miners are almost secondary because the rockets are the bigger danger. Yeah. But if I see miners out there, they'll still cop it too.
And what are they mining, uranium or something? Or?
Not yet, but
trying to?
Yeah, because the old people have told us that, you know, bothering their poison is out there, don't dig it up.
Yeah.
So we've got to try and... There's a mine out just short of Maralinga, and that is on contaminated digging up contaminated land. That's Iluka.
Oh, yeah.
Is that mineral sands?
That's mineral sands, yeah. But it is definitely, because it's not that far off of ground zero where they're digging up, so it's got to definitely be contaminated.
Yeah.
And they take it through Sejuna, past our hospital, past our schools, ship it out from our port of Thevenard. It's just no care.
Mm. And the amount of destruction they'd be doing along the way as well, you know, like if there's any of the blowing off the back of the trucks and stuff. And
And the amount of water they've got, they need, it's, where are they getting it from, apart from underground? Because I can tell when they're taking the water from underground, because the rock holes don't start filling up from the bottom. There's no water for them to come up.
Mm.
You can always tell.
Mm.
And if I go to where I know the rainwater, the freshwater soaks are, and we dig and no water comes up, they've drained it again.
Yeah. Is there a big underground basin out there?
There must be, because different places, we can just dig and the water will come up. And that's clear, fresh water. And we can also dig it and leave it for some of the animals.
Mm.
But, you can always tell when the water is drained.
Yeah, didn't you say something about, I think it was Iluka, how they drained like 7 soaks in 7 days or something?
Apparently I was told they drained 7 wells in 7 days. Jeez. And I don't know what they class as a well anyway, but that's a lot of water.
Yeah.
Hell of a lot of water.
Yeah, and it would have so much ongoing impacts for like the ecosystem out there as well.
Well, you know, like, I'm not a scientist, but I know if you take the water out from underneath the trees, they're all going to die too.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Everything above ground will die, and that includes us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're using that good, you know, underwater water table for, spraying down the dust at the mines and stuff. And you can't even drink the tap water in Sejuna. The tap water in Adelaide tastes so bad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the good water is just getting, wasted.
Yeah, same like BHP there.
Mm.
Olympic Dam and Roxby and wherever, what they're taking out of the Great Artesian Basin is it's criminal.
Yeah.
When there's water restrictions on, if you don't use a bucket to water your garden, you get fined. This mob are just taking millions and millions of litres out of the greatest Artesian Basin, and the government backs them. They get that for free, you know. We got to pay water rates.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, these people don't even pay taxes most of the time, these big mining companies and stuff.
And where's the profits going?
Yeah, exactly. All going offshore to someone's bank account, probably, and some billionaire richer.
The mama companies are in another country.
Mm.
Mm.
So really, who owns Australia?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Who owns native title? It certainly isn't the people.
Mm. And it's you know, just to put it in perspective as well, like how much minerals get taken from this continent. It's something like they make $500 billion worth of profits every year on exporting minerals from this continent. You know, $500 billion every year, that's absolutely ridiculous amount of money.
Who makes it?
All these mining companies, yeah. It's disgusting. All these, you know, shareholders and, you know, the big offshore conglomerates, and, you know, that's all our resources as well that they're stealing.
Yeah, we fought the oil rigs in the Bight. And we won that one for a little while, and now this Southern Launch mob have got a launch thing at Whaler's Way, just out of Port Lincoln, and they're going to drop their payloads in the Bight. So why did we fight the oil rigs just to have this mob come along and destroy whatever?
Yeah, it's just the same evil repeating over and over again, really.
Mm. And that's why I keep asking, how long and how hard do we have to fight to protect country? And by protecting country, we're not just protecting Aboriginal people, we're protecting everybody.
Yeah.
I keep saying, if we lose, so do you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's something I talk about a bit on the show as well, you know, like as mob, when we talk about caring for country, we're not just talking about the plants and the animals and the soil and that, we're also talking about the people, which includes all the non-Indigenous people that are here now as well.
Exactly.
You know, for us, caring for country is caring for everyone and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. So it's everybody's business.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's something that I always try and drum into people as well. You know, it's not just a Aboriginal fight, it's a fight for survival for everyone.
Mm.
It is.
You know, the more allies we can get on the board, the, you know, more people that we can get backing us and supporting us, the better chance for everyone.
Mm. Yeah. And the next generation, you know, they got no say in anything.
Yeah.
Future generations. they're just going to inherit what we leave them.
Yeah, it's a horrible legacy that they're being left. You know, how much longer is the human race going to survive if this is what we keep doing? Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything else you wanted to talk about, Arne, or to any other messages you want to get out there to whoever's listening?
Just everybody, take up the fight. Don't just sit back and say, okay, you know, that sounds fair or right or not right, whatever. Take up the fight. Talk. Ask questions. Get stuck into your government people. Because I won't talk to the government anymore. I'm sick of talking to them. They don't listen. Yeah. But they may listen to you.
Yeah. No, that's an excellent point. And, you know, that's especially too because, like, mob are only going to get so far talking to the government. Like, they've been ignoring us for, 250 years now.
Mm.
But if it's their own, you know, their own, like, non-Indigenous people hammering a point and, like, they've got... If we've got that support from the broader non-Indigenous population, you know, they're forced to actually do something then.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I learnt that lesson a long time ago, that Aboriginal people cannot fight this on their own.
Hmm. Yeah, well, we've been trying and look where it's got us, unfortunately.
We have tried.
There's only so much we can do.
Teokasi chatanzi wiki paha michaje. I'm from the Lakota Nation in the geographical center of North America that we call Turtle Island. And community radio is about your community, your heart, which 3CR Community Radio is right here at 85.5 AM. So it is digital, and I'm presuming you can go worldwide with it. People are listening in America to you, so talk back, Australia, to the earth. Peace with earth. Thank you. Teokasin Ghost Horse, Community Radio. Is your love.
You're listening to Yilliman on 3CR. If you've just tuned in, you've just missed a great interview with Arne Sue Hasseldean and Amundju, talking a bit about what's happening out on Gulga for Country with the rocket launches, as well as looking at a bit of the history around fighting the mining out there and the cultural stuff going on country out there. So if you missed that, you can listen to the episode again. It'll be uploaded either later today or tomorrow on the website, freecr.org.au/Yilliman. There's also a fundraiser this Friday night at the Grace Downs Hotel. Head down to that one to hear a bit more about what's actually happening out there and how you can support it. Because, you know, they need a lot of support and a lot of help. And that's something we just talked about in the interview as well, about how we need a lot of our non-Indigenous comrades and allies and friends to actually back what mob are doing out on country, fighting these weapons companies and these rocket launching tests and fighting this mining and, you know, fighting all the stuff that is happening as a result of the ongoing colonization of this continent. So head down Friday and, you know, hear a bit more and donate some money towards the fundraiser.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.